Hey, what's up? Welcome to the Least Ready Room. Just wanted to say that this cold open is a little long, kind of a party line situation. This whole episode is, and we'll see how much of this season ends up being a lot of people talking to each other about a lot of things, but I assure you this is a podcast about Star Trek, and we will get there. Thank you for being here. This is season 2 of the Least Ready Room.
Super cheap, but like a reasonably priced thing, you know, it was accessible.
Probably.
And at $100, it doesn't feel like that's accessible anymore for the sets, right?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think it's too much.
Yeah.
Mostly paying for the licensing to all those
particular
IPs.
That's what I was talking about, Star Wars and Transformers.
And the design expertise.
Yeah.
Probably.
Oh, yeah, and the troubleshooting, make sure it all goes together and stuff. Like, I get where the money's going. It just feels like a lot. That's all.
It is a lot. Toys cost a lot of money.
That's why I play a free online MMO.
Oh, really? Which one?
Star Wars.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just picked it back up again recently.
Wait, what's it called?
Star Wars The Old Republic. You need about 80 gigs free on your computer to download it. But I don't know.
When did that
come
out?
It's got like 2011.
Oh. Oh, okay. I think I know which one that is. Yeah.
It's one by BioWare.
Okay.
Graphics still hold up pretty decent. Like, it's not the prettiest thing, but it's okay. Like, especially considering, again, it's like 14 years old and it looks better than Skyrim, in my opinion. In the level of quality, considering, again, this is to be an MMO, it's not like an actual computer game, you know what I mean? So like the requirements and the way they build them is different.
Yeah.
So for what it is, it's pretty solid. The one player story on it has always been decent. It's fully voice acted. And because it's a BioWare game, you have romance with your companions if you want to do it, but also your voices matter.
Yo.
No matter what class you're playing, you get like a fully fledged story from like level 1 to 50.
What's up, Prof 249?
Can anybody hear me? Am I audible?
You're audible.
You're audible.
There's some noise also coming
from
you.
Yeah, it's like you're rubbing like fabric over the mic or something.
It almost sounds like an eighth inch jack spinning in a...
How about now?
A socket. Oh, hey. Better. Yeah, there you go. Way better, yeah.
I think the plug was loose. Okay.
Well, then that would be Dave being right then with the jack being like spinning thing that he said.
It did. It sounded like an eighth inch jack being a son of a bitch.
So did somebody say horny Vulcans?
Yes, that's what we're doing.
Not yet.
This man filed his taxes like a week and a half
it's
ago.
It's paper roof.
Wow. That's a wacky thing to do this time of year.
I wanted to send the government some money because they've been up to a lot of good work recently.
Yeah, you were like, you know what? I'm feeling, I feel like everything's been going so nice and smoothly that I might as well kick back a little bit and make sure that we keep, you know, just want to do
your trade war going.
Get them a little walking around money.
You guys go in jail if you
have some money in the dresser.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible.
So weird.
I think you gotta
only like... if they take the time to audit you.
Yeah, I think
which they
you gotta like not pay a lot
do.
Of taxes.
No, even if I, as far as I know, I don't go to jail for not paying taxes here. I mean, they can audit me, and I will owe a lot, and like I'll have to pay like fines and shit. But I don't. As far as I know, there's no jail time.
I think you can get criminally prosecuted for not paying taxes in the United States, can't you?
I'm not in the States.
Yeah, I know. But here...
If you're rich enough.
Well, the rest of the world thinks that we're a bunch of dumbasses because, you know, it's like you get in trouble for not paying your taxes and then it's like, okay, how much do I owe? And the government's like, well, we do know how much you owe, but we're not going to tell you.
Right.
We're hoping maybe you would, like, guess.
Yeah, that one bugs me, because even here, it's like the government knows exactly how much I owe and like how much I can get back as a rebate every year, but they're still wanting me to do all the work. Like, if you are, you have a computer doing the math, just tell me and be done with it, you know?
Yep.
Right. That's what they do in pretty much every other country.
I don't feel like they know. Do you think they know here?
They know. Otherwise, how could they audit you?
Well, I think maybe like...
Certain things might set off
an alarm or something, and they might look closely when they realize that you're money laundering or something. But like, I don't think they know. I don't think they know anything.
They know, and then what they do is they try to get you to basically end up making errors on your taxes so they can end up charging you more and more money.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Like, I suspect this can be... Like, they know how much you get. You should be taxed based on your income because that part gets reported, right?
Yep.
I'd suspect that, like, because there's things like rent that you have to claim that isn't necessarily reported that you paid XYZ, you know, or, like, when you do... store stuff, like shopping in general, there's certain things that you can claim depending on what the purpose is that they won't know about. So I suspect they at least know part of it, and it's like, well, then just at least do that part of it, and I can tell you if there's other stuff that I want done to it, or I could just be done with that basic math level, which is where I'd be at, right?
Yeah, I guess where it gets complicated is all the write-offs and stuff. Like, I have to report, like, my mortgage interest payments, and I used to report the rent, and used to report what I was spending, like taking public transit in Massachusetts and so on and so forth, and that sort of thing.
Definitely, I agree. I'm more coming from the I wish that there was the option to just kind of like be like, no, you send me a bill, this is how much I owe, I move on with my life, and if I want to claim those other things to get those rebates or whatever, then I have that option, you know.
Because like for government,
because like for us here, because I don't obviously know American tax law. Mm-hmm. When I start a job, I have to fill out paperwork saying how much either. I want.
Nobody does.
Yeah, no one does.
I put in with a new job how much I want them to take out of my paycheck each time to pay, mm-hmm. and there's a bare minimum, and then there you can have them pay more. So like I've always just put in more, and like say it's 5% instead. I'm like, nah, I'll pay 10 just to be. So I don't have to think about it, right?
That's what I'm apparently doing. And I guess I forgot that I did this. But then when I was filing last week, I'm having my employer just stash away like $50 every paycheck.
Just to put
in there. And then they just send it back to me just to be
I do 20. And I still low.
It's a stupid system is basically my point. And there's no reason that it needs to be this complicated for the generic person. Especially when, again, we have the technology to take away all this complication that's unnecessary.
We got to use that technology to draw big-titted anime girls.
And they already do.
They could do like, okay, so like before there was income tax in the old days, like people used to pay in the States, people would pay taxes with commodities, most frequently whiskey in the barrel. And perhaps the modern equivalent of that would be if the government wanted me to send them X number of anime AI drawings of big boobed anime girls. I'd have to send them in. Well, that's the tax chat for this week.
Yeah, I'm upset. I can't wait to do it this year. I really am. Yeah. Really sad about it.
I've never been a contractor. I've never been self-employed. I've never run a business. I've only just filed employee tax forms, like, and that's it. So compared to people I know that are independent operators of all stripes, I have it pretty damn simple.
I've had to do the contractor thing before, but we have a thing where if you make under a certain amount, you can just claim it as other. And so I'm not even going to lie. That's what I did.
This is the first year I have to do I have actually made a profit as a small business, so I have to do like the whole shebang of taxes.
Mazel tov.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah, congrats, but also sucks on the taxes.
It's gonna be fucking stupid. I'm gonna end up owing more than I made, I'm quite sure.
My grandmother used to complain about that because she while she was still alive, she was technically a contractor of the company she worked at full time. Like, she only worked for one place, but
yeah,
she wasn't an employee, so she used to have to do, like, the worst taxes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I have to do the worst taxes.
Video is still on pause, right?
Yeah, didn't Saint just say I'll be in a... Yeah, he just said I'll be a few minutes ago.
I'm not sure. It's going to be similar to last week, Dave. I'm not sure if I'll be around afterwards or if I'm just watching the episode and then dipping, because I do open tomorrow.
Okay, well, shit. Have you ever seen Amok Time?
Oh, yeah. I fucking saw that ages ago. Everyone's seen Amok Time, haven't they? Isn't this like quintessential Star Trek?
I don't think I've seen anything in season two. I mean, unless...
This is the one with the Vulcan queen who has to, like, put her hand in her lap because she can't actually do the hand.
The actress can't do the Vulcan hand salute.
Yeah. So to do it, she sat in her little throny chair and they put her hands off camera and she set her hand up in position and then held it to come up and actually do the salute to Spock.
kind of like David Bowie and that guy that had to juggle his balls.
So wait, they can get him a prosthetic ear, but it can't just like make the freaking hand.
Fake hand to hold up, to stick on your wrist. You got any thoughts on anything else that we're going to see in season two, Chris?
Like the season as a whole or?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember right now off the top of my head what's in it. Yeah, oh, we've got Mirror Mirror.
Yeah, Mirror Mirror.
I just happened to have the Wikipedia page open.
I've got our spreadsheet open.
For Mirror Mirror.
No, I've got the spreadsheet of all the episodes and movies and shit that I showed you before open. That I track where we're at so we never forget an episode.
I know what you're talking about.
Oh. Sorry.
Mud is in this.
Yeah,
what? Wait, what?
Yep. Yeah, the Harvey Mudd episode's coming up soon.
We've only seen one Mudd episode. Is that what that means?
No,
he's in like the pilot or something, isn't he?
I don't remember when he comes up.
I thought we had learned that he is only in two episodes, but I sort of thought we had seen two Harry Mudd episodes.
Is it Harry or Harvey?
It's Harry. Harry Mudd.
It's Harcourt.
That's what you're thinking of as Harcourt, or
no? His name is Harcourt. Something Harcourt Mudd.
Harcourt Fenton Mudd, apparently. Harcourt Fenton. Oh my god, the animated version of him looks so much more slimy and gross. Holy shit.
Oh, I bet. Like, I think
he looks he looks almost pedo.
I wonder if
levels of slimy and gross.
Wow. Okay. I wonder if he's in the episode. I wonder if he's in the episode of the animated series with Tribbles, because I think that he's in the TOS episode with Tribbles, so maybe. Oh my god!
Am I right?
Look at that mustache.
It's almost pedo-like, isn't it? Not quite, but it's like pedo-adjacent. It's gross. It's really gross.
Oh, there he is. I think the grin is what does it.
Yeah. I'm just trying to find what episodes he's in for sure, because I'm bad at it. So there's Mudd's Women. Which might, I don't think we've seen that. I think a season, the season.
No, we've seen Mudd's Women. Yeah, that's when we met him. He was dealing in women, if you recall.
Yeah, I'm just getting the episodes like order confused. We've talked about this. I can't keep track of anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this is the second episode, is I'm Mudd. And no, the Tribbles, we keep thinking it's Mudd, but it's not actually Mudd.
No, you're right. I was saying maybe in the animated series, the Tribble episode will have him. If he's a character in the animated series, that might be what I'm thinking of.
Looks like the only animated series is called Mudd's Passion.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. He returns selling what he thinks is a fake love potion.
Is a fake love potion. Does that mean it's a real love potion?
I don't know. We'll have to watch season one of the animated series.
Well, we will eventually.
Check out this resume of 60s TV. The actor, right, whose name is Roger Carmel, was in The Dick Van Dyke Show. He was on Batman. How about Star Trek, of course? We got The Patty Duke Show, I Spy, Hogan's Heroes, Car 54, Where Are You? The Man from Uncle, The Munsters, Hawaii 5-0, and All in the Family, bringing it into the 70s.
Man.
And he was the voice of Smokey the Bear.
Oh.
Mm.
So yeah, Mud's something I'm looking forward to. Mirror, I'm looking forward to just because it's such a good episode. I don't think there's anything else that jumps out by name because I'm bad at knowing what things are called. And I haven't gotten the summaries pulled yet because I am unprepared for my life.
How about Roger Carmel as the Decepticon deputy leader Cyclonus in the third season of Transformers?
Yeah, Roger Carmel?
And in the movie. Yeah, same character.
What else? Is he in Star Trek?
Yeah, that's Mud.
Oh, really? Is Cyclonus?
Yes, correct.
Wow. Leonard Nimoy, of course, is Cyclonus' boss, Galvatron. That movie, of course, the final acting role of Orson Welles.
Yeah.
Incredible. He
wound up the career with some space robots.
Yeah.
I've been playing No Man's Sky, so I've been meeting many interesting space robots.
Yeah, what's it like?
It's very pretty. Like, it looks really nice.
Yeah.
And I think this is my first, like, game I've ever played where I have to, like, walk around a three-dimensional world and, like, navigate space. And that
really?
Way. Yeah, pretty much all the games that I prefer are the ones that look like spreadsheets.
Oh, sure, right, okay.
Nice.
Yeah, I do
No
like
Man's
that.
Sky is a lot of fun.
Yeah, Thrash plays a lot of No Man's
the
Sky.
Game.
I this do like cool. I'm walking around zapping stuff. Zap.
Yeah, I've been. You know what? I've been doing something similar. I've been playing Star Trek Outlaws.
Ah, I see.
It's a. Yeah, I've been doing zapping.
Star Trek Outlaws or no, Star Wars?
Did I say Star Trek?
Yes.
Yeah. I've been Star Wars. Yes.
I figured as much.
It's, you know, it's a newbie. It's not. It's definitely not Far Cry.
And I feel as though there was a conversation on this Discord recently that led me to think about like Star Trek as basically a variation of like a Western.
Yeah.
But Star Wars is, of course, I'm sorry, Star Wars is a Western.
Yeah.
Star Trek is based on Roddenberry's like Navy memories.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It's like a war movie.
Yeah.
Of.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Hunt for Red October is a Star Trek movie.
Yep.
We determined.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
All right, we're going to start. Saint has messaged me.
Baby.
Okay, welcome to season 2 of The Least Ready Room, a podcast where Dave, Chris, and Saint and a whole cast and crew of other people and whoever happens to be hanging out on Discord are going to watch every episode of Star Trek, at least I am, and we're going to talk about it. So yeah, thanks for being here. Great to have you here. Today we're talking about Amok Time. Like I said, this one is pretty busy. We got a party line going on. We got different people calling in, different levels of quality of microphones and devices and stuff. So you're just saying we're aware. Bear with us. Thank you. And, you know, like I said, some episodes will be like this. And we're slowly getting our shit together and figuring out all of our equipment and how we work best together and also our schedules. This scheduling thing is turning into a D&D level type of situation because there's a lot of people involved now, but and I might be starting up not D&D, but a tabletop game. Lots of things are going on. It's great. You can come and visit us on Discord and talk about what we're doing. While I have you here, why don't I tell you that a great thing to do in your spare time is to visit CuyaDK.tv. That's CuyaDK.tv. There you can find links to follow me on Instagram and Blue Sky. You can check out my YouTube videos and stuff and other things, links to my other podcasts. Well, one right now. The third podcast, which is about Game of Thrones, will come back when the TV show, I don't even know what the next one is called. One of them is coming out this year, maybe. Anyway, it's about like a hedge knight or an egg. And anyway, when you go to koyadk.tv, you can get a link to that Discord server I was talking about. And and if you want to help out this podcast, if you're enjoying this episode or any of our, or whatever, The Least Ready Room, you can leave us, you know, a 5-star review and say something nice. And I think that helps people discover the show and I'm trying to learn about algorithms and what is good to ask people to do. So maybe I'll have a more specific. But yeah, I think leaving reviews and commenting helps podcasts be discovered. Or anyway, moving on. If you really want to support me and all my projects, you can go to lakehousesoaps.com. Buy some soap for me. That's enough. All right, I've plugged enough things. I think I plugged more things than introduced anything. Here's a muck time. Thank you everyone for being here. We got AKA Weebs. We got Chris and Saint. We got Surreptitious Music. Is Fickle Pickle Pie in the house? Possibly. Thrash Keshu is here. This is basically the whole crew, except for Chaos Confetti, who maybe we'll talk to next time or soon. Anyway, welcome to The Least Ready Room, a podcast about taxes and Star Trek. So here's Chekhov. Chekhov is here now.
Cool.
Yeah, hooray. We got everyone. Everyone's here. The gang's all together finally.
I'm reading about Arlene Martell, who played T'Pring. So Arlene Martell was in The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Mission Impossible, Battlestar Galactica, the old one, The Monkees, Mannix.
The Monkees. Oh, boy. I used to watch that when I was a child. Probably like
The $6 million Man.
The same on the afternoon, the same channel that I would watch these episodes of Star Trek and Batman.
Monkees was on MTV had it for a minute, I feel.
What?
Like. I'm pretty sure.
Maybe. I have no idea what channels I was watching any of this shit on.
That makes sense.
Some MTV definitely had The Monkees.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What was that show about?
Nothing. About a band of hilarious imbeciles getting into ridiculous situations.
It was silly.
Yeah.
It was kooky and silly.
It was a delivery mechanism for pretty good songs with pretty ridiculous plots, basically, that was the idea.
That song.
Yeah, you basically just watch it so that you could hear them play a song at the end.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Man, I should. Yeah, I'm going to watch I'm going to watch an episode of that and see how I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much like, wasn't that pretty much the basis for, like, you know, Josie and the Pussycats, Jabberjaw and the entire nine was the Monkees television show?
Jim.
Yeah.
That cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there wasn't really. I'm trying to think back and think if there was like a fictional band show before The Monkees, and I don't think that there was one.
But if there was, it wasn't like big name, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the band, especially the guitarist whose name I forget right now, but I shouldn't be forgetting this, they feuded with the producer of it so bad.
Pete?
No, it wasn't Pete. It was Mike Nesmith.
Oh, okay.
Mike Nesmith and Don Kirshner got along so poorly that Kirshner was like, fine, my next band TV show will be The Archies, and they're going to be a fucking cartoon.
Oh, really?
So I won't have to listen to this shit anymore. Yeah.
Mike Nesmith walked off The Monkees and became Archie?
No. He didn't walk off. He just he was like a musician with like a career, and he was a songwriter that already had a number one hit by the time he joined The Monkees.
Oh, all right.
And Kirshner insisted on using studio musicians for everything, and they were in this like goofy TV show and all this stuff that Nesmith, like, he was too serious of a musician to go through this shit, and it was ruining his reputation and so on and so forth. So he would just fight with the producer, Don Kirshner, all the time. And so Kirshner decided that the next project he did was not going to have a bunch of real people in it.
Oh, Kirshner. Mm. Okay. Got it.
Hence The Archies.
Gotcha. Okay.
I could have sworn I'd heard as well that it wasn't just the one guy. Like, I think Jones had some complaints as well about how they were being marketed and treated, because, like, they were really trying to play up the British angle. So, like, oh no, this guy, like, he's like the Beatles, like, really pushing that hard. And I think he had serious issues with that and tried to get it changed, and they refused.
Yep. I mean, he was really from London.
No, and I see where they went with it, but, like, I can understand why he was like, guys, I'm not that. Like, stop looping me into this just because I'm British, you know?
Yep. That's pretty much it. Nesmith's solo records, highly recommended. Magnetic South by Mike Nesmith and the First National Band. Great album.
Cool. I'll check it out. Yeah. I'll write that down, as well as an episode of The Monkees. Magnetic sure. South.
Magnetic South.
Monkees. Monkees with two E's and no Y.
Right. Yep. Yeah. I remember that song from that movie where Will Ferrell hears a narrator and a green apple rolls across the street.
Stranger Than Fiction.
Yeah.
That's such a good movie. I like that movie.
I'd go the whole wide world just to find her.
All right. If we're just talking about popular media we like, I'm going to leave.
How did you feel about how repressed Spock is and he can't just tell the captain he has to be on Vulcan to have a date with his wife?
I like this episode a lot.
Nothing to be ashamed of, right?
On Vulcan,
it seems... Except for the murder ritual, maybe?
I guess that's...
The murder ritual is kind of unusual. Usually people just have sex, apparently.
Yeah, she lured him into the murder ritual because of Stan.
Yeah, but apparently the Kring is a bit of like a Vulcan psychopath.
Yeah.
And most of them are like all about like, it's logical for me to murder my husband. No, I think part of also the philosophy of Sarek is not just logic, but also pacifism, more or less. Like, you shouldn't be going around killing people.
It's Romulan shit. It's Romulan shit she's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, just because you're having wet dreams doesn't mean you should go around killing your friends, you know?
That's true.
For some reason...
No use in crying over pop chips, you know. Just saying. By the way, I meant to ask, is this like one of the first times that they established the ritual and him like actually getting upset when he gets like
Ponfar at all?
Mm-hmm.
It's a big secret. Like none of this would have been I guess she probably still would have tried to kill Kirk, but like the whole first act could have been avoided if he had just been so not embarrassed, if he had been unembarrassed enough to tell Kirk that he needs to take a week off.
Probably the point that they're trying to make though, right? Because this is the 60s with like that free love push. So trying to like, distance themselves from the puritanical before that, right? Like that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And showing like, no, look, man, the way be hippie, that's the better way.
That's an interesting read on that, as a matter of fact.
Kind of feels like that, though. Like, if you pay attention to it, the whole thing, Spock is acting very puritanical in the whole, like, I can't talk about it. Nope, my body, my choice. Like, this is not a line I'm willing to cross until he's literally forced to.
Until he's going to die.
Yeah.
From bursting.
And it's very, like, the whole episode is like, stop hiding it, just do it, and be free and accepting of that. And like hippie love and all that stuff. It's like, I don't know. It might just be stoner thoughts, but
no, I know it's like right. It's right. Girlfriend. Like no. Kids, tell the captain.
The whole Ponfar ritual thing is extremely illogical.
Yeah,
and I don't know why nobody points that out.
I don't know.
Standing around being like, you can just go have sex. You don't.
Yeah, they ultimately can't repress every single thing, but they get damn close to dying trying to do it. I never thought about like the sexual politics of Star Trek being like progressive in any way, but that's a really interesting point.
Oh, they are.
I had something similar in mind to this, the effect of, I think it was a knock on standards and practices for allowing like the use of violence in television as frequent in comparison to
that's
also an interesting take. Yeah,
we're not gonna fuck. We're gonna kill each other because that's okay.
Pretty much.
That's more acceptable.
That's more acceptable for people to watch
instead of sex. Yeah.
social commentary.
Yes.
I can't tell anyone that I need to fuck because I might get someone killed.
I might get taken off the air.
Yeah, right. Get my show killed. The existential terror of fucking in 1968.
Wow.
Boy, there's a lot going on in this one.
This is a classic.
Yeah.
I thought it was silly, and I didn't think very much happened, and I'm giving it a 5.
You know, that's that five. Ultimately, T'Pring's reason for not wanting to marry Spock is irrational, and it doesn't seem to be like immediately related to like she got so passionate that she made the decision. She was just like, I don't really feel like marrying you because I don't like your reputation, which like to me, if there's anything that's like an irrational, like illogical decision in here, it's probably that.
I'm going to speak up as the only woman of the group and be like, hey, 1950s and 60s housewives could not get divorced.
Yep.
And it's really weird that they got arranged at 7. Sorry, Chris.
No, no worries. But no, that's where that's coming from, though, right? Like that.
Yeah, it's the divorce.
Boards at that point.
And, yeah, and all. Yeah, and like, and as Peter pointed out, arranged marriage. You didn't really have a choice.
7 years old. Yeah, that's.
I mean, women around that time, like,
yo, go for it, T'Pring. Get Kirk killed. Get out of that. Get the fuck out of there.
She's like, fuck all these conventions.
Fucking slam Stan for till the end of time.
Stan. Well, 67 or whatever. I mean, that's like the beginning of like the divorce era. It was just starting to get easier in the United States to do that. So
when was the year that women were finally allowed to actually have their own individual bank accounts?
It was something like the 70s, I think.
I was thinking that. So that's why I was thinking that might be another thing.
Spock has to go home, get divorced, and then beats up Kirk. That's what happened in this one.
1974 was when the Equal Credit Opportunity Act came out, allowing American women, married or not, to have their own bank account. 1974.
That was like 20 years ago.
When my girlfriend's aunt lived in Switzerland in like the 90s and had to get her husband to sign off on a credit card, I think.
Oh,
Switzerland,
man, yeah.
Switzerland also didn't have a vote for women until like the 80s or 90s.
Yeah, they were really far behind. Really? They were awful, yeah.
Yeah. Switzerland's a weird freaking place in, like, a lot of ways. Yeah.
They got mooses.
They have, you know, everybody's like trained to be the militia for the entire country, but my goodness, they can't, like, their women can't vote. That's oh man.
I don't think women were in the draft for the military though. So like, at least they aren't being forced to fight for a country they can't vote in. You know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's and yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that any of this is right. I'm just saying at least there's that.
No, I full heartedly agree. Like, you know, like you actually feel like you have a stake in whatever the hell you're actually fighting for, instead of like, you know, hey, you live here, now fight.
Yeah.
What are some good countries to move to?
Why do you ask?
I hear like the Scandinavian countries about 50-50 up there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they got the Amanita muscaria.
They'll have that in the Arctic Circle area, Siberia. That's where you find those.
I'm gonna.
You gotta let a reindeer eat them, and then pee, and then drink the reindeer pee.
You drink the piss.
Yeah, drink the reindeer pee.
It can be human piss too. That's why.
Sorry, is human piss more appetizing?
Yeah, is that
or less?
Is that a plus for you? What are you saying?
Well, that's my question to all of you. Human or reindeer, if we're going to trip on Amanita mushrooms, what do you think? Okay. It's called looping.
I would believe the reindeer urine would have a more of a body to it. Than
yeah, probably. Oh, Jesus.
You're increasing blood bodies mushrooms that your body's not used to with it, though, if you take the reindeer pee.
You can't just eat the mushrooms, they'll kill you or something.
They won't kill you, but it's like it's worse if you just eat them, and that's why it can be human piss, because it's like traditionally there'd be a shaman and he would eat like the mushrooms and they'd be poisonous and he'd get really sick, but then his piss would be like, that's what would make you trip. But then I think that contemporarily a lot of people just eat it and then drink their own piss for like the second half of the trip.
Wow, still thirsty, huh?
Yeah. After... but the piss, like the real hallucinogens come out in the piss after passing through. So yeah, that's also why,
like it's got to get metabolized to get.
Yeah. It's also why reindeers are able to fly in Scandinavia, because.
That's why Santa wears red and white, the colors of the Amanita muscaria mushroom cap.
Because he, because they have to dry slowly also. Because first of all, if you don't dry them properly, they will just kill you. And so you got to put them in a very perfectly balanced, humid place. And in Scandinavia, before we had electricity or anything, a good place to hang them in the fall when they bloomed or whatever you call a mushroom coming out of the ground. You would hang them in the boughs of a pine tree that would stay nice and humid. And if you really wanted them to dry out slowly and cure properly, you could cut a pine tree down and put it in your living room and hang red mushroom caps all over it. So that's why we hang shit on the Christmas tree.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm having like massive like mushroom trip deja vu right now.
Let's all get some mushrooms.
Because I was just listening to a podcast with the comedian Duncan Trussell, and he explained the same exact. He was talking about the Stone Ape theory and about how the origins of Santa Claus are, you know, how the origins of Christmas all revolve around mushrooms.
Absolutely, that's exactly all that shit I just said. Yep,
I had no fucking I had not heard about that, and now I heard it twice in one fucking day.
Sorry, yeah, wow, weird.
Now the world's coming to an end. I knew it. The walls are melting.
So there's your answer. It's time to move to Lapland.
Yeah. That's it. Right. All right. Wow. Yeah. I knew the answer was in me all along.
Got to just pee it out?
Just got to pee it out.
It sounds like a nasty mushroom. My advice is, you should not eat this or do anything with it or drink pee, in my opinion. I don't know. I mean, make your own decisions.
I think it's
your own decision.
I think it's.
Drink a pee.
But we don't advise it. But we don't advise it.
Yeah, officially, I do not advise looping or Amanita muscaria.
Taking those in the first place.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I feel like it's basically impossible to emigrate anywhere unless you have shit tons of money and privilege, which I think my emigration fantasy is probably like Ireland or Scotland.
Oh, those are nice. Yeah, that is nice.
Ireland's better just because it's not as cold and snowy, and it's close enough to Scotland to go see all that shit if you want it, you know?
Yep.
Mine is the moon.
The moon.
Yeah, that's where if I could go anywhere and live, it would be as far away from everyone as possible.
I would also like to go on a space adventure. That would be pretty great.
I don't know. I used to want to go to space, but now in my old age, I realize that living in space would be extremely uncomfortable and shitty.
Yeah.
Without technology that isn't like, you know, 500 years away or whatever. So I would like to live on like a Rhode Island far away from everybody, like on St. Helena, you know.
Yeah, that would be
where they exiled Napoleon. I'll be like, yeah, I'll go and live.
You know, even if you
3,000 miles from the nearest people.
Yes, even if you have the technology to survive in space, you just wind up getting your titties cut off by a horny Vulcan.
Yikes. Yeah, right. Getting your titties cut off by a horny
Vulcan. Multiple boob window search situations.
Yeah.
Real fashion going on. This is real. Vulcans are elves. Like, an elvish promenade that came down to watch Kirk get murdered. By the way, Vulcans are supposed to be like 3 times the strength of men. Like, she was like, I'm gonna kill this star this Starfleet captain.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm allowed to because of our fucking Vulcan traditions.
I'm so upset at this stupid arranged marriage that I'm gonna
go for it to pray.
Tradition.
Fuck tradition.
Get this guy killed.
Get the bag, sis.
The other place to emigrate to is, of course, Canada. And
no,
you don't think so?
I live there. Do not come here.
It's bad.
Okay, so you guys have actual Trump. Our prime minister stepped down, and last I heard, the person who was most apt to get voted in is Trump Lite.
Yep.
Why'd you guys step down?
Yeah. Yeah, the
Trudeau stepped down because he's been in power for too long, and nobody wants him anymore because he's not been doing enough / anything.
Well, no American president would ever do that.
The thought that I had kind of came from, I got a friend who's from Thunder Bay, and
Thunder Bay is not bad, I guess.
I'm looking up there, and I'm like, there's a lot of fresh water up here.
Yeah, Thunder Bay is also like murder capital. It's one of the highest crime rates in the country.
Is that right?
What are y'all killing each other over?
So
drugs,
Thunder Bay,
maple syrup.
No, and actual racism.
Oh, you mean what he said?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Yeah, no. A lot of the stuff going on in Thunder Bay is racism based. It's a very large native population and a lot of racism. So it's actually we have fun crime fact. There's like a highway of tears through the country where people just keep going missing, and the missing native women along there is the highest demographic.
Yikes! Wow.
So is there what's
fucked up time to be alive? Wendigo.
Is there more like more conflict of that kind, more like racist violence and stuff like that in like Thunder Bay as opposed to like Winnipeg or someplace out west on the prairie provinces out there someplace?
So if you want to go somewhere that feels like you're in the States, go to Alberta. It's functionally like cowboys and all that conservative goodiness.
Yeah.
If you want to go out west more, I'd say from what I've heard in general, BC is probably one of the nicer spots to be, but if you're of Asian descent, there are issues there. It's where like a lot of anti-Asian sentimentality is.
Oh, sure.
In British Columbia?
So between the immigrants coming from like Asian countries over to like California predominantly and usually going upwards towards Canada, they usually end up in BC or they go up to Alaska and they do like fishing and whaling and stuff like that.
Yeah.
My stepfather was Coast Guard. He between like, you know, Alaska and BC, like he would help out with like the, like EPA regulations and stuff like that. Environmental Protection Agency regulations and stuff like that. Yeah. But, he was explaining to me how that there is some very deep rooted, racist, feelings towards Asian folks because of, they're coming over and, you know, taking the fishing jobs and stuff like that. When the reality is that, like, you know, much like with, you know, American farming jobs, not a lot of Americans are willing to take those jobs just as much as not many Canadians are very interested in taking.
It depends on where you are for the fishing. Our fishing out east, everyone's down for it, but out west, no one wants to do it. Out west is also really big for film. Like Vancouver and Toronto are the two big film cities.
Yeah.
The Okanagan, I believe, is one of the best weed deposit like places in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And you get like some really nice bud from BC. But it's also like, if I remember my school history from 20 years ago well enough, there was like POW camps and stuff out there. Not POW, sorry. Like internment camps similar to what the States had for Japanese people during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were awful to the Asian populations out west back in that time, and it's not gotten a lot better from what I've heard, but I'm also not out there, so I don't know like specifically. Ontario is like three different countries in one. It's awful. None of us like anyone else in the province. I live in the worst part of it. And Quebec hates the rest of the country, and the rest of the country hates Quebec. So if you're going to move here, out east. Go like Newfoundland, New Brunswick, Nova Scotia. they're the chillest people, they're the nicest people, and it's probably one of the better areas to be, but New Brunswick has a lot of French influence, so if you don't speak French, it's like going to, like, a Cajun area, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oui, oui.
Yeah, the other... The Quebecois are pretty interesting folk.
It depends. There's a lot of really proud French people in Quebec, and it can cause problems. Like, I've experienced, like, a lot of negativity there by being shitty at French, and there's a whole swath of people who just won't be able to understand you if you don't speak French, and another swath that refuses to even try or pretend that they don't understand you just because you're not speaking in French.
In the city or out in the sticks?
Depends on the sticks. They actually will not understand you. Up north in Quebec, they don't speak English.
Right.
Montreal is the metropolitan city, and Quebec City will pretend that they're okay with you because you're a tourist and they want your money.
They are not okay with
you. Not if you don't speak French. Yeah, Chaos just showed up. He knows what I'm talking about. He can't hear you.
Well, it's like going to actual Paris. Everyone there speaks English. But if actually that's different from actual Paris. Because in actual Paris, it's like they don't want to hear your shitty French. So if you try talking to them in your shitty French, they will just cut you off and speak in English.
Yep, I heard that.
The Canada nice, so to speak.
For some reason, the nonprofit that I work for has a all Montrealer Quebecois sysadmin team. It's like everybody who's minding the computers at Tor is they all live like within a couple miles of each other in Montreal.
Interesting.
They're cool people.
What's that like?
It's nice. And then they like we have like a contractor to work on our Civi CRM and stuff, and he's another Quebecer, so it's just all these guys with cool French names.
Oh, French guys.
Yeah, names like Guy.
We got a Antoine, we got a Jérôme. And we got a Mathieu.
Oh, Mathieu. I knew a Mathieu from Quebec. That's funny.
You guys, your French accents are awful, and I love it. I'm
loving it. I feel, I'm sorry for laughing.
To anyone with those names,
I'm sorry that I'm laughing.
Like, I'm not going to sit here and say that myself, because my French accent is also absolutely awful. But
Chris, say some things in French.
I actually don't remember most of my French anymore either.
Can you say, like, je m'appelle Louise, yo quiero lo queso, or something like that?
Get out of here.
Je suis, no.
What is it? No, it'd be, je veux le fromage.
Je suis un jeune fille.
No, I want, not je suis. I correct myself because je suis is I am the cheese and I'm not the cheese.
Terrible novel.
Yeah, really bizarre. His parents were spies. Did they brainwash him or brainwash each other? Did they do experiments on him?
What?
Nobody knows. I've read the summary of the plot of that novel several times since Mrs. Sheehan assigned it to us in seventh grade.
It's absolute nonsense. It's a bizarre thing to make a seventh grader read.
I'm going to dip because Chaos is here and I want to go spend some time with him before he beds.
Thank you so much, Chris. Give me a number, please.
Amok time. 9 out of 10. It's fucking amazing.
Okay, cool.
I actually really like it. It's
you
one
like
of my favorite.
The fashion and the boob window.
It's not the boob window. I like the themes, like I mentioned earlier about, you know, women being oppressed and not being able to marry and a divorce and all that stuff. Like, I love all that about it. I like that there was a Vulcan focused episode because I used to love the Vulcans when I was a kid. So this really was like awesome in that respect. Chekhov's amazing as always.
Yep.
It hits all of my little, I love this about it, you know?
Red. Great. Thank you.
No talk problem. To you soon. I'm going to go. Yeah. You guys have a great night, eh?
Yeah, man.
Have a good one.
Bye, all.
Bye, Cass.
I think I can give this episode a number, and I think that, like, just as an episode, production, the plot, the rest of it, it's probably like a 6.5 or 7, but I got to give it next. Got to give it 1 point bonus for my empathy for horny and uncommunicative repressed Spock. So that's going to bump it up to like 7.5, I think.
Good. Excellent. I'm glad.
Yep.
Anyone else?
I was going to say, throw me down for like an 8. I think an 8 is pretty reasonable.
And I'm kind of up there too.
It was a valiant effort. I really enjoyed the story. It, like, again, there's a couple of those moments where it's just like, you know, G-Spock, just, you know, like, just, you know, spit, stick it out, it, and then go.
Oh, yeah. Or that.
Yeah, you know, do the you know, the horizontal mambo, and then just get the fuck on with your life. Yeah.
We got so close to like a really good, like, meaningful, dramatic scene with Spock and Chapel, but like, it wasn't really set up. It wasn't set up to actually mean anything.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
Like, it was acted well for the material. They did their best with what they had in the script, but like, if that was supposed to be like a big emotional scene, it really should have got set up a little better.
Yeah, even in this episode, a tiny bit, you know. Mm-hmm. So did Spock think that all those people showed up to watch him fuck? Is that?
Yeah, it's a core.
Like, because he was surprised that he had to fight instead of.
Yeah. He had invited his best friends.
Yeah, to come watch him.
Baby, my shit's a sold out event.
And his grandma, and like everybody.
Yeah, grandma. Grandma's here.
Grandmama.
That's how they do. It's logical, dude.
Fucking Vulcans.
He's in milk afterwards.
Yeah, this episode is supposedly a classic, but I'm gonna give it like also like a 5,
because
I think this is the most ridiculous Vulcan bullshit I've ever seen, honestly.
I hate Vulcan bullshit.
I mean,
I hate Vulcan bullshit.
They're just Romulans who are lying to themselves.
I mean, I understand that she wants to have a culture of, you know, logic and rationality and everything like that. But
Vulcan stuff.
And that's, you know, that's great. But ultimately, they have all of this highly illogical bullshit. I don't know why anyone just doesn't say to them, like, okay, I guess this is like an ancient tradition for you to either have like a fight to the death or something, but like, you could just say, let's get to, like, Spock, I don't want to marry you, I want to marry this guy. And yeah, it's
the 22nd century or something.
Like, it doesn't have anything to do with a logical process. It's just something I want.
Yeah.
And, you know, Vulcans are allowed to want things. That's fine.
They should be allowed to.
Because otherwise they wouldn't get anything done. It's like,
Yeah, they got to, you know, want to do really good science and improve themselves. Yeah.
In my experience, every time there's a character in a Star Trek that is like supposed to not have any feelings, they always have plenty of fucking feelings. Like, every single
most
one
feelings.
Come on, like,
all of the feelings.
Goddamn feelings.
Exactly. Data's got lots of feelings. He just doesn't know how to deal with any of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that trip he gets just makes him like emote better.
It makes him feel funny when someone blows on his skin.
And that's a fine basis for a character. Somebody just doesn't know how to handle their feelings.
Yeah.
Spock kind of demonstrated it today. But
Spock,
the whole thing,
real robot shit going on, Spock.
Yeah.
just couldn't handle it. Just can't bring himself to tell the captain he needs a week off to go have a fucking wedding. Can't bring it. He's going to wait till the last. He's going to wait. He would have waited until his heart burst if the crew didn't go out of their way to figure out what the fuck was up with him. Send him to the doctor. He goes to the doctor. He's like, all right, I'm here. I'm leaving. Fuck you. No one can know about my Ponfar. I'd rather fucking burst. Jesus, Spock.
Spock, that's highly illogical.
That's
like,
the most
the
illogical thing he's ever said. And he says a lot of illogical shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vulcans are so annoying. I'm so annoyed by Vulcans. And this is a really annoying... I think, and really, it's the first act. The first act is really annoying Vulcan shit. It's just, that's classic Vulcan shit right there. No Romulans probably book a whole month off go home and fuck their brains out because they understand. They're honest with themselves. They know who they are.
Right. And no, like, wouldn't it be logical to know this comes up once every 7 years? Yeah. So, like a dentist appointment, you just make it. You make an appointment. Like, oh, I'm going to have to pon far in 2028. So I'm going to take the month of April off.
Yep.
I'm going to fly back to Vulcan. I'm going to do my thing. And then I'm going to fly back. Because if I don't, my heart's going to burst. And that would be dumb.
Yeah. Like, much in the same way that they have the whole disease where they start losing their minds and start like getting telepathically weird with other people in their near vicinity. Yeah. You would think that there'd be some sort of Vulcan preventative care or something like that. Like,
no, yeah. Because they won't tell anyone about it. You would assume even other Vulcans, like, they don't have any kind of preventative care because the
logic of preventative care is just there and they just refuse to do that for themselves.
Actually, well, that's what they would do. Yeah.
McCoy knows how to diagnose and treat every single human ailment in like a minute and a half.
Right.
But he's got one crew member that he's just like, I don't know what's up with this guy.
And the guy won't tell him.
Yep.
So fucking annoying.
He's throwing soup at women. He's running around with a raging boner. We don't know what the fuck to do with him.
and really, the first act of this episode takes place entirely because he couldn't schedule a week off. He just wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just couldn't tell Kirk that he's got to go home and fuck, or kill someone, or think he killed someone,
or whatever. Something will happen.
Great episode.
So at some point, they are going to have to return to Vulcan. How is the Vulcan government going to take Kirk's death?
Yeah. Is Kirk legally, if he turns out to legally be alive, can he go back there and claim to Pring? Ugh.
Oh, yeah. JK Lol.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, no.
I don't know. How old's Pring and how much longer does she have to live?
A long time.
Vulcans are around for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. But. That's what I was wondering. Like, you know, like, if she was on her way out, he could get away with it if he waited around long enough, I guess. But I don't know. That's just silly.
Yeah, every inch of this is silly.
The guy that wound up with T'Pring had zero lines. Did he say anything?
T'Pring? Well, she said, yeah, I wanted to fuck Star.
She explained the whole, like.
Scooby or whatever her future husband is.
Oh, Stan. Oh. No, yeah, Stan said, it is my right. I want to kill Spock because I want to fuck.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, good.
Yeah.
He had one line.
Yeah, and it was that what I just said, exactly.
Didn't have to get a SAG card.
Stan. Good old Stan. My new favorite Vulcan character.
And that's Scon. Wait, Scon, like S. Oh my god.
S-T-O-N-N.
Yeah.
Oh, S-T. T as in Thomas?
Yeah. Stan.
Okay.
And he was that actor was in episodes of Batman, Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, The Man from Uncle, Mission Impossible, Perry Mason, Hogan's Heroes, Bonanza, and The Feather and Father Gang.
Well, that's a crossover with Batman and The Man from Uncle.
Sure.
What is The Man from U.N.C.L.E.? I don't think I've ever seen that.
It's a spy show.
The Man from U.N.C.L.E. is a spy show.
Oh.
They remade it with Henry Cavill and who else?
Some other, some blonde guy.
Yeah.
I feel like there was some blonde guy that was in like three movies in like a 2-year period one time.
I forget. It was kind of forgettable, I guess, unless you were a fan of the original, which I really wasn't. I never actually seen it, but I'm aware of it. It is indeed a spy show of some kind.
I'm like very vaguely aware of it.
Well, it's in the genre of 60s television show where there's just enormous amounts of guest stars all the time. So when you go around looking at biographies of actors, like the guy that played Scooby in this episode.
Scooby.
Yeah. Same titles keep coming up. Hogan's Heroes, Bonanza. Yeah.
Now we have Law and Order.
Oh yeah, right.
Law and Order.
Law and Order.
Law and Order. Million guesses. Well, I mean, it's also been on the air in various formats and ways for about a zillion years now.
A zillion episodes.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to leave you guys. Good night.
Thanks, man. Yep. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thanks, dude. Out there.
Bye-bye.
Peace.
Late.
I probably ought to go play my bass guitar too. I got band practice tomorrow. We're recording next month. I gotta get my shit together.
All right, good luck, man.
Thank you very much. Thank you for this lovely Star Trek. I don't breeze through these very often, but I do keep up on. I do read the channel.
Awesome, thanks, man.
And I do watch for opportunities. I have a steady Friday night hangout all the time.
Okay, yeah, I got you.
Some of the stuff goes on Fridays.
Well, nice to talk to you.
Hey.
Talk to you soon.
Yep. It's good seeing y'all. Take care.